after awakening, but very often we believe that we remember it only incompletely, and that during the night there was more of it. We can observe how the memory of a dream which has been still vivid in the morning vanishes in the course of the day, leaving only a few small fragments. We often know that we have been dreaming, but we do not know what, and we are so well used to the fact that the dream is liable to be forgotten that we do not reject as absurd the possibility that one may have been dreaming even when one knows nothing in the morning of either the contents or the fact of dreaming. On the other hand, it happens that dreams manifest an extraordinary retentiveness in the memory. I have had occasion to analyze with my patients dreams which had occurred to them 25 years or more previously, and I can remember a dream of my own which is separated from the present day by at least 37 years, and yet has lost nothing of its freshness in my memory. All this is very remarkable, and for the present, incomprehensible. The forgetting of dreams is treated in the most detailed manner by Strumpel. This forgetting is evidently a complex phenomenon, for Strumpel does not explain it by a single reason, but by a considerable number of reasons. In the first place, all those factors which produce forgetfulness in the waking state are also determinant for the forgetting of dreams. When awake, we are wont soon to forget a large number of sensations and perceptions because they are too feeble, and because they are connected with a slight amount of emotional feeling. This is also the case with many dream pictures. They are forgotten because they are too weak, while stronger pictures in proximity will be remembered. Moreover, the factor of intensity in itself is not the only determinant for the preservation of the dream pictures. Strumpel, as well as other authors, Calkins, admits that dream pictures are often rapidly forgotten, although they are known to have been vivid, whereas among those that are retained in memory there are many that are very shadowy and hazy. Besides, in the waking state one is wont to forget easily what happened only once, and to note more easily things of repeated occurrence. But most dream pictures are single experiences, and this peculiarity equally contributes towards the forgetting of all dreams. Of greater significance is a third motive for forgetting. In order that feelings, presentations, thoughts, and the like should attain a certain degree of memory, it is important that they should not remain isolated, but that they should enter into connections and associations of a suitable kind. If the words of a short verse are taken and mixed together, it will be very difficult to remember them. When well arranged in suitable sequence, one word will help another, and the whole remains as sense easily and firmly in the memory for a long time. Contradictions we usually retain with just as much difficulty and rarity as things confused and disarranged. Now, dreams in most cases lack sense and order. Dream compositions are by their very nature incapable of being remembered, and they are forgotten because they usually crumble together the very next moment. To be sure, these conclusions are not in full accord with the observation of Radstock, page 168, that we retain best just those dreams which are most peculiar. According to Strumpel, there are still other factors effective in the forgetting of dreams which are derived from the relation of the dream to the waking state. The forgetfulness of the waking consciousness for dreams is evidently only the counterpart of the fact already mentioned, that the dream, almost, never takes over successive memories from the waking state, but only certain details of these memories which it tears away from the habitual psychic connections in which they are recalled while we are awake. The dream composition, therefore, has no place in the company of psychic successions which fill the mind. It lacks all the aids of memory. In this manner, the dream structure rises, as it were, from the soil of our psychic life, and floats in psychic space like a cloud in the sky, which the next breath of air soon dispels. Page 87. This is also aided by the fact that, upon awakening, the attention is immediately seized by the inrushing sensory world, and only very few dream pictures can withstand this power. They fade away before the impressions of the new day, like the glow of the stars before the sunlight. As a last factor favoring the forgetting of dreams, we may mention the fact that most people generally take little interest in their dreams. One who investigates dreams for a time and takes a special interest in them usually dreams more during that time than at any other. That is, he remembers his dreams more easily and more frequently. Two other reasons for the forgetting of dreams added by Bonatelli, given by Bernini, to those of Strumpel have already been included in the latter. Namely, one, that the change of the general feeling between the sleeping and waking states is unfavorable to the mutual reproductions, and, two, that the different arrangement of the presentation material in the dream makes the dream untranslatable, so to speak, for the waking consciousness. It is the more remarkable, as Strumpel observes, that, in spite of all these reasons for forgetting the dream, so many dreams are retained in memory. The continued efforts of the authors to formulate laws for the remembering of dreams amounts to an admission that here, too, there is something puzzling and unsolved. Certain peculiarities relating to the memory of dreams have been particularly noticed of late, e.g. that a dream which is considered forgotten in the morning may be recalled in the course of the day through a perception which accidentally touches the forgotten content of the dream, Radstock, Tissier. The entire memory of the dream is open to an objection calculated to depreciate its value very markedly in critical eyes. One may doubt whether our memory, which omits so much from the dream, does not falsify what it retained. Such doubts relating to the exactness of the reproduction of the dream are expressed by Strumpel when he says, "It therefore easily happens that the active consciousness involuntarily inserts much in recollection of the dream. One imagines one has dreamt all sorts of things which the actual dream did not contain." Jessen, page 547, expresses himself very decidedly. "Moreover, we must not lose sight of the fact, hitherto little heeded, that in the investigation and interpretation of orderly and logical dreams, we almost always play with the truth when we recall a